Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hi. We'll start this episode off by thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com and use code WH, you can save 10% on all your power carving needs. Go get yourself some burrs and discs.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steels, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You find him at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca. And also have some news. If you've been following along for the last year or so, he had a scholarship for intro to bladesmithing at the New England School of Metalwork. And he started that last year, and he's going to do it again this year. It's open.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's open to ages 18 to 30, and applications will be open.
And that's on the New England
School of Metalworks
website.
Website, yeah. So that's a great opportunity for a young maker.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when it wants to get in. I mean, even if you're already into knife making, an intro class isn't a bad way to go.
Yeah, it definitely, even for someone who's got, you know, a few knives under their belt, it would, efficiency would be a big thing I think you'd get out of a class like that. That's what I got out of it when I was there for the tool making.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, no, it's a big opportunity for somebody. So, if you're in that age group, I would be taking advantage.
Yeah. There goes Lawrence, supporting the community again.
Terrible guy, that guy.
Oh, I tell you. No, it's pretty cool. What have you been up to, Tony? Anything good?
I have been dealing with follower emails.
Oh?
I say that in a good way. No, I just had a few people reach out when we talked about that, the cone, that frostrum.
Yeah.
Frostum, whatever it's said. I had a couple of people reach out and send me templates website. And just a plug and play. You got the shape that you want. You put some numbers in, and it gives you a scale printout of the object you're trying to template.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I've got three different sizes printed out. I just got to tape them all together and then see what fits on the steel that I have in the shop. That's pretty much what's gonna dictate what I make. Because I really don't want to go get more plate steel or sheet steel, I guess.
Doesn't he just sell that part 3D printed? Can't you just buy that part?
You can, but because he has it threaded on the end, it doesn't work for me because I'm using slip-on pipe for everything.
I gotcha.
So that's the biggest reason why I'm not using it. Not really any other reason. It's just it doesn't really mesh with the system I already have in place. So
you'd have to modify it and then reprint your own.
Yeah, I'd have to figure out a way to put threaded pipe on it. Or that is one way that you could deal with it. I'm sure there's a multitude of others that people are screaming at me that I could do right now. But
so for anyone who hasn't been following along, we're talking about the retrofits that Tony is doing to his forge to make it run like the Apollo Forge from Housemade.
Yeah, it's not to. I basically have it running. They're the same style system. It's just that the forge blower that he uses is much quieter and also has a an adjustable, like it has a potentiometer or like a throttle on it. So you can crank the fan up or trim it down if you need to. So it has more controllability, I guess.
That'll work.
So that's the biggest reason for it. And then the noise. It's so much quieter. Like in a 12x12 space, if you can lessen the noise in a shop like that, it makes a big difference. So I'm really I just have to get out there. The shutdown stuff I've been dealing with lately is kind of drained my battery. So I'm waiting.
You guys are still shut down?
Yeah, Yeah, we are. It's all to plan, but we should be up soon, but I can't say dates because people get mad when I tell dates. Yeah, I'll get into that in the after show. Oh, really?
All right.
But, all right. Yeah, and having a geriatric dog the last few days has been rough too. He got into something and is now does not have a solid bowel movement for the last like day and a half. So it's been fun. Woke up to a mess and then took the kids to school, went to, and he took a very long nap and then got up, walked around the dining room table, which was the scene of the mess from last night. And did about a half a lap and then started to come back towards me. And he has a little walk that he does. And I was like, nope, nope, outside you go. There's a patio door, right, like a door out to the deck right there by that table. And we got him outside. And anyway, so every time he would, all day today, there was no leaving him alone at all. So it was just wait around till he woke up. He wakes up and then immediately out of the house to let him fertilize the lawn with liquid fertilizer.
Come on now.
I'm trying to be good about it. But yeah, he's having a rough go, but the old timer, he's earned us taking care of him. So
yep.
He'll be 15 in December, so
it's a good run.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we just got him some meds for as a lab, of course. He's got arthritis and stuff in his hips. And we got him on some meds here lately that made a huge difference in him. So that's been good to see. So
you give him vitamins every day too or no?
She gives him something. I just can't remember what it is. It's one of those ones that you hear. It's like a standard joint pain remedy. Yeah. I want to say a glucosamine or something like that.
I don't know. I wouldn't know even if.
I don't know.
We give our guy vitamins every day.
No. Oh, before I forget, and we go on to dog talk. New England School of Metalwork, their classes for 2024, if they're not open to sign up for, they're at least open to view the calendar to see what's what for 2024. So if anybody was interested, that's I highly recommend going and taking a course.
Yeah, I'm debating on taking a course.
Yeah.
The woodworking the woodworking tools one. I think it'd be cool to make my own woodworking tools. I just don't know if I would meet the prerequisite requirements.
Do they call for intermediate?
I don't know.
Yeah, because they do say in their write-ups, like beginner, intermediate, advanced, I think is the third one.
My main issue with it now, not so much that, it's more the dates, their work days. So
yeah, they're all through the week.
I don't have much vacation, so I can't really commit to it just yet.
I gotcha.
Who knows? Maybe I'll get laid off before then, and then and I won't have to worry about it.
Well, let's hope not.
Well, maybe you're hoping not. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. No, I was looking at it myself, but I actually think this year won't be a year that I'll return because I've got another event to go to later on in June this year. So I think I'm going to try and hit that one.
Good. You don't want to tell us what the one in June is?
Oh, it's the Urbana meet that they do. I think it's every 4 years kind of meet.
Where is that?
That's in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, that one's in June, I think.
You going to make a pit stop in Jersey on your way there?
I don't think I swing low enough to hit Jersey for that.
Come on now.
Might have to swing. I could swing on the way.
Make me drive out to Johnstown, Pennsylvania to see you when you come to America? I don't even know where that is. I never even heard of it.
I tell you, I don't want to beat up on the town, but man, there's not a lot there.
I know the last time you mentioned it, my brother's like, you don't want to go to Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, I want to go to this event because there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some very highly skilled smiths there. It'd be interesting. I think it'd be an interesting weekend to go to. But I started looking at like Airbnbs and stuff like that that are in the area. And a lot of it's like a one room, like almost like rooming house Airbnb. I'm like, I just looked it up.
It's directly west of me.
Is it directly west of you? But it's like, what, 4 hours away from you?
Five. 4 hours and 46 minutes. So that's a long ride.
Yeah, it's...
I guess I won't be seeing you.
Yeah, it's 14 hours for me. So it's not that much more than camp, but it's a lot. It's going to be a two-dayer. 2 days there, 2 days back.
Where are you gonna stop along the way?
Unclear at this point. It's probably somewhere's in Mass, but I'm not sure yet. Somewhere's like in that 6 to 8 hour range, I think, on the first day.
What's the date of this event?
June.
June's enough. That's all I need.
Yeah, June something. Early June.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I'm excited to meet a different group of people.
Come on now. You're going to know half the people that you know are going to be there. Half the makers you know are going to be there, and you're going to be talking to them and not meeting new people.
I think I'm pretty good at meeting new people.
That should be fun, though.
Yeah. It'll be kind of a busy spring, summer, because we'll have the classes are out, and the
maker camp classes.
Yeah, and the Group Forge dates are out.
April. Weekend in April, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good one. The project's already known.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
We're replacing that old trailer that's there for the logs. It's going to make some sort of rack that replaces that.
How do you know that?
It's actually in the write-up, I believe. But Cash told me when we were there, too.
Yeah. Fully forged firewood rack to accompany the park bench and fire pit from the prior 2 years of the Group Forge workshops. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's always fun. I've never had a bad project yet, so two for two.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff already announced, though. The leather craft intensive, tote boat workshop, silversmithing again with Curtis. I'll be there.
There's another forging one
with Cliff and John Ariane. Cliff Dufton and John Ariane.
I don't know what they're making, if it's another axe or if it's hammers.
Oh no, that one is just a blacksmithing intensive. So it's like a variety of blacksmithing chisels, hole punching, going over the basic types of steel and basic metallurgy. I can't say that word. Heat treating, how to use your tools to make whatever you want.
Gotcha. Oh, that's a good one. That's not a bad, be a good one too for a lot of people.
Yeah, those classes are great. I mean, I've experienced the Group Forge, a Timber Inn, and the silversmithing ones.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, everybody that's gone to a class has been very happy, so can't go wrong.
I may go to the epoxy one.
Ooh.
Yes, I know. It's out of character for me, but I may have an epoxy project coming up, so I may want to learn how to use epoxy.
That would be beneficial if you're going to make a project.
Yeah. My main plan was just to call Dre and be like, hey, can you help me out with this project? Build all the forms and be like, okay, here's some epoxy, mix it, make it. I mean, that's where I'm at. That's how little I want to touch it.
Yeah, I got you.
But we shall see.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I got to see if it works with my schedule. February's a rough time.
is it busy for you guys, or is it just weather-wise?
I don't really care so much about weather in that case, like if I'm just going to go somewhere. But yeah, it's a busy schedule, and I don't know, with work, we'll see what happens with work. I'm either going to be busy again come February, or I'm going to not have a job. So.
Nice. Yeah, I guess I've been looking ahead to the spring a fair bit, the last little bit. Had a bunch of meets announced for, there's one February, I think there's one in March, and then there's a strongman in April. So could be a very busy winter for me.
What do you prefer with those events? Do you prefer the regular meets or the strongman?
The powerlifting is what I'm really into, but I think the strongman's a nice little distraction that still keeps me progressing, but it's something different to kind of dig your teeth into. I mean, it's the same
motivating, if you will.
Yeah. I kind of see that with a lot of people that make, is that sometimes that, you know, an off the wall project will be very good for motivation. And that's what, it's kind of what I'm going for. If my plans go the way I want, when I do compete in April, I'll be competing at 100 kilos. So I'll be down to 220 pounds. So
let's keep it in freedom units. All right.
Yeah. Well, 220 pounds. So yeah, I've got some motivation right now to start really getting after it in a different way, like trying to cut down in weight, and it'll put me in a good spot for possibly doing a powerlifting meet and then continue to cut from that meet down to the strongman weight, and then hopefully stay consistent in that ballpark. I mean, I was there at the start of COVID. I was walking around at 225, 235 and felt like $1 million, and then tweaked my back during COVID, and it was before we started the podcast, but it's kind of in that same timeline. And yeah, that was, I never really gotten back to that consistently hanging around that weight. So I want to push myself to get back there.
Good. Good, good, good. I'm on a mission myself, but I don't need to bore anyone with my mission.
Oh, so I can bore them with mine.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that for you.
Okay, okay.
You're the healthy guy.
I'm
over here cracking beers.
Oh, God. You're the healthy guy. Or I'm the healthy guy. That's, oof. That's scary.
Yeah. I'm more on the Hunter S. Thompson side.
I've heard.
Yeah. Yep. Also, I finished another toolbox.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yeah. That one's staying in the Drennan household?
Yep, it has been delivered to its client. She was pleased.
I would hope so. It looked pretty good.
Yep. And then I got to knock out a few smaller projects. And then I have to make two more of these boxes and hopefully a bunch more. Let the orders roll in.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, when I say two more, one's going to me and one's going to the High Caliber Craftsman.
Oh, he decided to pick one up, did he?
In a way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sounds like some barter.
There's some bartering going on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I have some leftover. The one I'm making for myself is not going to be made out of walnut. But I had bought walnut for myself, so or for my box. So if I have enough, I'll whip one for good old Austin.
Just whip one up. It'll be just done like that.
Yeah, like that. I actually I spent some time over at Green Street Joinery, our friends over at the American Craftsman podcast, and I was at their shop and talking to Rob and Jeff, we kind of came up with changing the design a little bit to make it faster to make, which will be cool. So the proportions will change just a little bit to match what they were saying, which is fine. I mean, it's not going to look any different for most people, but it'll make it faster to make, actually.
That's good. Those guys are a good good resource for sure.
Yeah. So hopefully I can start knocking these things out real quick. But yeah. That, and I mentioned last week when we recorded, I need to do my typical winter shop clean and purge. So that's happening.
Yeah. I was walking around the house today. Well, basically chasing the dog around. And then I got looking at the exterior of the house and a few things, and I'm like, I keep trying to do it in the spring cleanup, but then I keep kind of holding myself back because you're not sure what you can put curbside. And I think this year coming, spring hits, and maybe, who knows, I might do it in the next few weeks, just get a dumpster and just start purging.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got too much clutter. We've got too much stuff around the house, and just,
you don't have like a town dump you can just run stuff to?
Well, that would be okay if I had a truck.
Oh yeah, you don't have a truck.
Yeah, we do have a landfill that's it's about a half hour drive. But
just get the dumpster.
It's local, but yeah.
I find that if you have to load the truck, you're like, that's good enough, and then you go for the weekend. When you get a dumpster, you're paying for the dumpster, and you have a timeline, and you're like, yeah, it's only half full. Let's fill this thing. It forces you to get rid of stuff.
Yeah. And and I'm more than willing to, like, so for us, the tipping fees are different. I'm sure it's the same for you guys. But if you do garbage, which is probably what I'll do, it's like $100 and some odd per ton. And then if it's just purely construction waste, I think it's like $14 a ton. It's a huge gap between the two. So garbage is way more expensive because there's no sorting of it. And there's no recycling, no concept or perceived recycle of what is in that dumpster. It's just going to the cell in the landfill, being tipped and being pushed over the edge.
Yeah.
The building material one, I think they do some recycle of it. If it's, I don't know if they chip it or they do something with it more so than.
Yeah, I don't know. That, it's that, the same. Like, we have the different fees here too.
Yeah. So
the problem is when you do construction, you can't throw a coffee cup in there.
Yeah, it's the same up here. Yeah. You have to, if it's a construction dumpster, it has to be construction only.
Yep.
Because we had that, my neighbor got one time. We split the fee on it. We had when we first got the house, we did some construction. We had some, like, they'll take drywall and that kind of stuff. I don't think they'll take insulation. Not 100% on that one. But anyways, I was cleaning a few things out, and there was a wooden chair in the basement, and I grabbed it and threw it in there, and he pulled it out because he thought they would call that garbage. That's how paranoid people are of that. They would think that a finished wooden chair was not construction waste, that it was, they would deem it as garbage.
I had, at my old house, I had an old concrete patio that was like 3 foot high, like just concrete, and somebody had tiled it before we had moved in.
Okay.
So I had it redone, and they took out a bunch of stuff, so I had to get a dumpster for it. And one of the guys at the end of the day, I don't know if it was a soda or a beer or whatever, he threw the can in the dumpster, and the owner flipped out on me thinking I threw it in there. I think it was a beer. I was like, that wasn't me, man. That's one of your guys. I said, I haven't used that dumpster at all. I know it's supposed to be only for concrete. He made his crew come back and move everything in the dumpster so that they didn't have one can, one bottle cap, nothing.
Oh, wow.
I was like, is it that serious? He's like, yeah. And I quoted you for the dumpster of what I was moving. So I'm not going to charge you. I'm like, so you're going to pay your guys to move all that stuff twice? He's like, I'm not paying them. They know better. And if they don't, they do now.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have to move much, but it was just like, that's messed up, dude, to make these guys climb in a dumpster for a bottle cap.
Yeah. I remember hearing, so I paid to have movers do this place and my place before that. Actually, every other place I've moved out of since I moved out of an apartment, I've had paid for, or I paid for movers.
That's the way to go, man.
Oh, it's a lifesaver. And I remember one of them talking about it. No, actually, it was my father-in-law that was telling me this story. He said that there's a moving company in town here. I can't remember the name. There's two or three that are here, but they're all like the big names, but it's like they were franchises. So it was like they started out as like Joe's Moving, and then there's Frank's Moving, and then, you know, whatever. And yeah. Then they come in and Allied Van Lines is now their, you know, parent company or whatever. But back in the day, they used to have to get their own insurances and things like that. And the story was that one of them was pretty mean old bugger that he didn't get insurance, and he told the guys he didn't have insurance, but the insurance was if they broke something, they replaced it. So yeah, it was, so this, as the story goes, that company was actually one of the better ones to get because their workers were more cautious and
more white glove service type deal.
Yeah. And did a better job. It's kind of shitty considering most people doing that work are not highly paid to then, you know what I mean? Like think about it. You drop someone's laptop 1 week and then you got to replace it. And then you do it again the next week. And it's like, minimum wage job, you're like, how do you survive? It's kind of,
it's not minimum wage.
Maybe, yeah.
I worked for a mover for a couple months when I was in college, and it was,
I am assuming it's minimum wage. I do not know for sure.
I mean, it's not great, but compared to a minimum wage job, I took it. So
yeah, I got you.
And it was fun. We only did office buildings.
Oh yeah, we tried to get a piano moved one time. And that was impossible to get moved here in the city.
Yeah.
Well, we ended up having to do it ourselves.
Yeah, pianos are weird because as you move it, you can damage them.
Well, and
every time you move a piano, you have to retune it.
Yeah, we haven't had... Yes, I did know that. We've never tuned this one since we got it. She hasn't had time to really play it. But at some point, we'll tune it, I assume.
One of the daughters or the girl?
For Lil. Lil's always wanted a piano in whatever home she owned, so it was kind of a...
Is it a grand piano?
It's an upright.
Upright?
Yeah, but I don't know if I could... I don't know if it's a grand... Like, I think you can have...
grand is the big, like...
Yeah, but I think you can have an
upright. Yeah.
There is an upright grand I've heard of, and I don't know if this one is or not. I know this one is old. I do know that. And it's gotta be 400 to 500 pounds.
Yeah, I bet.
Like to put it in perspective, so we started moving it and we had a little lip to pick it up and over, and it took two of us to do it the first time. And then by the time I got through the stressful drive from the people's who we got it from to our place, I was warmed up because I was so stressed out because I got down to the end of their street, stopped, and realized that I had straps that had loosened while I was moving, and then I had to re-rig everything. And I was
That's the worst, man.
It was such a stressful thing. And just basically drove at like minimum speed, four ways on, with them behind us with their four ways on, and like had Sunday traffic behind us, like everybody out for a drive on a like beautiful summer day, and just the traffic was lined up behind us. It was crazy, but it's just like, all right, we're just putting along and we're gonna get there. But is going to take us a minute. So we, went on to bring it in over our threshold at the house here. By that time, I was warmed up and I moved it by myself.
Jeez.
It was one of those things. It's once you got a hold of it, it's in that doorway and there's not, like, you really can't get, it's a great way to jam a hand or an arm because you just don't have the space. It's a 36 inch door, doesn't fit a piano. Like it does, but it doesn't. It doesn't fit a piano and two pairs of hands.
Yeah.
So,
and there's only so many places you're allowed to grab and lift on a piano.
Yeah. There's, you don't just grab a hold of a piece of trim and pick up 400 pounds. You have to have those handholds you have to have something.
Ollie or something.
Yeah. You have to have a pretty good purchase. So yeah, we ended up using 2x12s for ramps and that worked out really well, actually.
Note taken. In case I ever have to move a piano.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're in my area and you need a piano moved, call me. I'll be right there.
Yeah.
Just keep waiting. Same thing as if you want me to pick you up from the airport.
Well, I didn't have to wait.
I'll be there. Moving sucks.
Yeah, it does. I hope to not do it until very close to retirement.
I hope to do it real soon.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. I would have to say I'm in the same boat. I would like to probably...
Everyone always says, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but everyone always says, oh, I can't wait until I retire. Then I'm going to move one last time. I want to move into my retirement home now.
Yeah. Once you said that, I was like, no. What I was going to say was, once my youngest daughter is out of school, I will be looking to move at that point. Well, it's either move or rearrange things in this home quite a bit.
My youngest daughter is not in school.
Yeah.
You going to be kind of local to where you're at now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I just need to stick around for work. Because by the time my youngest is out of school, that's only 5 years away. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That will not be retirement time. It'd be still quite a ways off. So.
Yeah, I want to find a nice plot of land with nobody around me for a little ways.
Yeah, that's a nice thing here. Once we get out of the city limits and into some of the more rural towns, because there's no city service in a lot of them, everybody has to have an acre minimum. And then once you get just a little bit out of that, it's usually everybody's got 2 to 3 acres. And if everybody's got 2 to 3 acres, you can have a lot of space between the houses, right? So, and you don't have to own 40 acres to get the space.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, 40 acres is nice space, though.
I was going to say 40 acres would be nice, but I want a minimum of 5.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the 3 to 5.
But it's got to have like a barn or a big shop.
Yeah, I'm in the same ballpark. I like to have a smaller house with a decent sized shop and or the space to build a decent shop. Because that was the one thing me and her have talked about quite a bit in the last little bit, is I've talked about building a shop out back here and then soundproofing it to be able to work. Mm-hmm. But the sound of, so from what I gather, the costs of insulation have gone way up, like tripled from what I've heard. I haven't actually
it's
researched.
It's not going to go down by the time you retire.
It is not. So, but that's what I mean, is if I don't spend the money on insulation and soundproofing and then build a shop out in the middle of nowhere that doesn't need that, then that means the shop gets bigger.
I still spend
the same money, but my shop space gets bigger.
Yeah, but then you can't use it in the winter.
Oh, no, that's not a problem. We can sort the insulation was not for winter usage. It was for...
You'd put in a wood-burning stove or something.
Something like that. Or if
propane
I did...
forge going.
Yeah,
close
or
it
if
off
I did,
so it heats up your area.
Yeah, if I did need a, like, I probably end up with like more like a storage and then a forging area, and that forging area it would most likely be insulated off so that I could work any time of year in there, so that you're not walking in and all your tools are frosted and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
But not
a controlled area for the work area, and the rest is
something like that.
Yeah, smart.
So,
I just want to be able to use my tools without having to move them. That's all I want. It doesn't have to be huge. I mean, I would love a huge shop. It doesn't have to be that huge.
It's like, I'm a simple man with simple needs. Just want rows of tools that I don't have to move. No?
Yeah. No, that's what I want. Granted, I have a lot of tools, so it's going to have to be somewhat big, but...
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, before we move on to something else.
Oh.
The boys over at the Oak and Steel podcast, I was talking to, what's his name, Mike? And I know the way we record these things, this is way after, but what is your favorite candy bar? If you had to give a ranking of your top five candy bars, what would they be?
Top five.
He put a caveat on it for me, which is fine, but I'll tell you after. And it doesn't have to be in an order. Just what would be your top five?
My top five go-tos would be a peanut butter O' Henry.
Wow.
Yeah. Aero Bar.
I don't know what that is.
No, you never had the bubbles?
Guess not, no.
Look it up.
I will in a second. I got to look up my list first.
A caramel bar. You got those, don't you?
I never had one.
No?
Nope.
Trying to think of what, I don't know, Reese peanut butter cup. I don't, that's not a bar though, but it comes in a package like a bar.
Wait, what was that? Peanut butter cup?
Yeah. I like the new ones now with their two big cups.
And yeah.
They come, I like the ones that come with the Reese's pieces in them.
Yeah.
They're like double, like, yeah. Here's diabetes in a...
Yep. Have you had the ones that are in a peanut butter shell with the peanut butter inside and there's no chocolate?
No.
They are the best thing you can get, period. Oh, wow. I haven't seen them in a while, but for like a year they were out. And I mean, you can still buy them online now, I think, but they were the best. It was a peanut butter candy coated peanut butter cup. Okay. The caveat we came up with was for the Reese's stuff, because they're so innovative and they have like 5,000 different things, you can only choose one. If I had to choose five, it would be like five variations of the Reese's candy.
Yeah, they do. Like, they even have ones that have chips in them, like the cup with chips, like crushed up chips in the cup.
When you say chips, you mean like potato chips?
Yeah.
Yeah. They got chips, they got pretzels, they got Reese's Pieces, they got peanuts in them, they got...
Oh, M&M's will have to, I mean, are we going to just have snacks or is it all going to be bars?
I was thinking more on the bar side, yeah.
Okay.
I think you chose five already.
I'm writing them down so I remember. Caramel. And this is gonna be the weird one that everybody's not going to say, what? But I like to have... and eat more bar every now and again.
Never heard of that either.
Oh. It's like old man candy in a way.
I'm going to give you 10, but in no order.
Okay.
I'm going to run through them real fast. Reese's whatever, right?
Yeah.
Butterfinger, Kit Kat, whatchamacallit, 100 Grand, Twix, Fifth Avenue, Almond Joy or Mounds, Snickers and a Clark Bar. That's my top 10.
Yeah, see, some of those we don't have. Like, the Clark Bar, I don't think we have them.
It's like a Butterfinger, but with peanut butter. They're phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah. So Baby Ruth, I don't think we have up here either.
I didn't name that.
Three Musketeers.
I didn't name that either.
Okay, I was just thinking of what we don't have.
Yeah.
But they're... Yeah. What prompt? Did they ask that question in their podcast?
It came up on their podcast that somebody had said the Almond Joy is in the top five. And then Mike had put out a story like, there's no way this is a top five candy. And I'm like, no, but maybe it's a top 10 because it is good.
Yeah, it's definitely not. It'd be definitely like one of those things, like you're road tripping and you can't find exactly what you want. And then you're like, oh, there's an Almond Joy or something, or one of, yeah, I could see that then. I think that's the only time I remember having anything like that.
But here's the thing. If there's a bowl of candy, right, and I go over to it, I eat Reese's candy. If I'm going to buy a candy bar, it's going to be some sort of Reese's or whatever. But if there's an Almond Joy sitting there, I'm gonna go for it.
You're going to enjoy?
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bad candy. Like, you can't say it's not good, but it's not one that I go to a store, and it's not in most stores. I went to two stores the other day, not looking for candy, but I went looking. And at the two local places near me, I couldn't just buy Almond Joy or Mounds. So I think that's the problem, but it doesn't take away that they're good candies.
Yeah. I also get a kick out of it. You call it a candy bar.
Why? What do you call it?
Chocolate bar.
Yeah. See? Cultural differences, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I do have a list of things I have to bring probably to the next camp or the next Forge event, because
I just added to my list for you. I'm bringing you a Clark bar.
Okay.
And a Reese Sticks. Do you have those?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Reese Sticks are like my road trip. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, they're like my road tripper.
Have you had the crunchy one? The Reese's Crunchy Bar or whatever it's called?
No, I don't think so.
Have you had the Reese's Cakes?
No, I've definitely not had the cakes.
Dude, you got to get out more.
Well,
it's a problem for me.
I try
to see
not,
that orange, like, I go for it.
I don't know. I mean, it, generally for me, it's whatever I pick up on the I-95 through... And then
I'm going to blow your mind, because this is not a candy bar, but this is one of those things that if you see it in your store, buy it and try it. Right, and it's the Reese's covered. It's the Reese's covered animal crackers.
All right. I don't think I've ever seen those. That sounds like a guaranteed Americanism.
Trust me. Whoever is the brainchild over there at Reese's right now is crushing it. They're trying to give Oreo a run for their money. I'm telling you, I don't really stem too far from the Oreo thing, because I like the cookie more than the creams, so all the double stuffed and mint stuffed and all that. I don't pay attention to it, right? I also don't eat Oreos that much anymore. But the Reese's stuff, when you're going into a store and you see it, the Reese's animal crackers, the Reese's pretzels are pretty good, but the animal crackers are unreal.
Yeah, so the first time I had the Oreo, the fudge-covered Oreo mint ones, I'm all in. Except for I think they stopped making them. Except for I brought them into work one day expecting, like, you know, this group of 200-plus pound men who never skipped a meal in their life, and then they all, like, turned their nose up at them. I'm like, what? This is shocking to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was almost hurt by it.
That's Milk's favorite cookie. It's not mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Reese's stuff is unreal. Although, I will say, my favorite candy bar of all time, right? It's not out there anymore. It's called the PB Max.
PB Max, I don't know. I've never heard that one.
Right. They haven't made it since probably the 80s. I don't know. But it was called the PB Max. And it was phenomenal. I bet nobody who's listening to this even remembers it. But I do.
I don't know how young you think our demographic is, but it's basically us. And
obviously, obviously, it's a discontinued candy, right?
Right.
So there's not many people who ate it in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, it was launched in 89? When was it discontinued?
Oh, really?
They don't even say when it was discontinued.
It's like that that one McDonald's that still makes the pizzas?
Yeah, right. According to the former Mars executive, Alfred Poe, PB Max was discontinued due to the Mars family's distaste for peanut butter, despite $50 million in sales. So it was a good seller, but M&M Mars just hated it.
Huh. Their distaste for peanut butter. And now they've, like, I mean, you look at the M&Ms now are all, everything's got peanut butter in it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't put Mars or Snickers, but I'm, because it's like just post Halloween. So everybody's had those like 100 piece, like sets or not sets, like boxes of candy, of bars and stuff. And I always found those ones to be kind of like the filler, like the Mars and the Snickers bars.
Yeah. So I grew up where M&Ms were made, right? So yeah, you said, Snickers yeah. and all that, right? So I still, I like all that stuff. But I find that when you get to Snickers and a Milky Way, well, if you can get a Milky Way dark chocolate, then sure, yeah. And a Snickers, now they have to put peanut butter in it, right? And it's good, right? And I'm not saying Snickers is bad, but when you buy a Snickers or Milky Way candy bar, right, and you buy it in the standard pack, which is anywhere now in America, it's always king size for some reason, right?
Same here.
Right? It's good, right? But it's better fun size. Those are two candies that are better the smaller the bar. Whether it's the fun size now, which is the square, or when we were little, the fun size was the little rectangle, which was about an inch and a half long.
Yeah, we still have the, I think we still have the inch and a half long ones.
Yeah.
But
is that the fun size or is the fun size the square? I forget. But either way, those
smaller one.
Two candy bars are better when it's just bite size and you're done.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I find those two and the Mars bar for me are a bit much by the end. Like I'm pushing myself to finish the bar.
Right.
Like it's not.
But now Reese's, this is how Reese's is winning. They know they have the regular two pack peanut butter cups, right?
Yep.
And I still prefer the dark chocolate for those. Right. But they also have the king size, which is four. Now they're selling them in a six pack. Get a six pack of Reese's.
Really?
Really.
I did not. That has not made its way up here. I thought it was getting bad with the big cups, like the two pack of big cups. Cause that's like four.
I like a big cup every now and then, but the ratios start to.
Yeah. They get a little off, but I kind of like a little bit more peanut butter to chocolate anyways.
Yeah, me too. But I prefer dark chocolate always. On any candy bar. I mean, a Kit Kat with dark chocolate is way better than a Kit Kat with milk chocolate, in my opinion. Same thing with Snickers, Milky Way, Reese's, you name it. It's better with dark chocolate.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree.
I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying, yeah. I'm pondering. I've never been a dark chocolate fan, so I'm on the line of agree to disagree.
That's what I'm telling you. Don't agree if you don't agree. But for me, I prefer the dark chocolate.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Let's thank those patrons.
Okay. All right. And here we go. We got Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Woodfinery, and our top tier, we have Eastpoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of Maritime Knife Supply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Archigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Due Construction, and Daniel in Drizzy. Thank you all.
Thank you all. Those are fantastic. With that, we should say any patron of ours at any level gets an entry into the Gnome Hammer giveaway for a hammer every month. So this is coming out mid-ish November. So you still got time. If you're not a patron, you can join. Or you can go directly to Gnome Hammer and become a patron of his and get a bunch of entries, or just buy tickets outright. There are some other podcasts like Work For It, Makeshift. There's a couple others. You become a patron of all of them and win an, I guess you'd get more chances to win a hammer. But yeah, try it out. That's every month. So what else you got, Tony?
I do have one thing that I meant to mention.
Me too.
There is, I want to get the date right first. I believe it's November 25th. If anybody local to me wants to experience a hammer-in, they are having a hammer-in in Nova Scotia, just outside of Halifax. Let me bring up some details here. It is, if you go to, on Facebook, they have the Maritime Blacksmith Association. They are holding a hammer-in on the 25th, starting at 10 a.m. and going to 5. It's at the Deanery Project. I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure. There's actually a website. So it's spelled D-E-A-N-E-R-Y. I'm probably saying it completely wrong. But if you're local to the Halifax area, I believe it's about 45 minutes east, and it's on the South Shore, which is actually, I think I'm talking to Dad, and him, he's talking about going, and I think we're going to get Airbnb for the weekend and go down.
That sounds fun.
Kind of make a weekend of it. That'll be nice. Be seaside on a different coast than we're used to.
Is your dad blacksmith?
No, but he's interested, and he wants to. He keeps wanting me to come up, and I keep having running out of time, and I really do have to spend some more time with Dad. So I think if we can get a weekend up there or down there, it'd be great. So I'm gonna mention it to him. Actually, I gotta mention to him. I gotta take some time off to do it, but I don't think it's gonna be an issue. And I figure where I've been pushing for the stuff to happen with the Maritime Blacksmith Association, I'm gonna support it the second they bring it out. So
good.
So I'm excited. Seems like the venue is quite large, so it might actually be quite the thing. So excited.
Good. Blacksmiths are great exposure. They're hammer-ins are great exposure. Blacksmithing hammer-ins are great exposure.
Yeah. I don't know who they said was going to be. They do have a demo set up, I think, or planning a demo, but I've seen some names that are coming, and they're all people that I want to meet. So
cool.
So I know Lawrence has said he'll be there. And the guy who made Peter Lepak, who made basically every hammer I own other than the one that I made and the one that Ryan made for me. So be nice to meet him finally.
Good.
So be good to meet some of the local guys. Be good to get more in this community so that within this local community so that, you know, we can get things rolling here.
Maybe push them to do more than once every 5 years.
COVID kind of screwed things up. So
That was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago.
I know. 20,
21, 22, 20, 4 years ago.
I'm being nice.
Come on now.
But yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see that something's happening.
Kids born during COVID are now talking and about to go to school.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I had. If you got anything else.
I do. I got one thing. If you listen to last week's episode, we were talking about the Art a Week or Art a Day, but it's going to be Art a Week with mostly accurate Jeremy Foster. And Tony didn't put out any art this week, but that's fine. We'll probably get him involved in like, you know, 5 years. In 3 to 5 years, he'll do an art project. But if you want to participate in that, Jeremy was saying, makers arting is going to be the hashtag. So hashtag makers arting, something fun to do. Follow along with people's art journey. You don't have to be an artist. I'm not, and I did a drawing this week. Hopefully I have some paint for next week's. We shall see. With that, we're going to head on over to the after show. If you're a patron of ours, we'll see you there. If you're not and want to be, just go to patreon.com, go up to the search bar, type in Working Hands Podcast. You'll find us. Become a patron, and you get access to the after show where we talk about more nonsense. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram or at Gmail or Working Hands 3 on TikTok. If you could rate and review the show, 5 stars is always appreciated. Sharing the show is epic to us and epic to everyone. Telling all your friends is even better. Making them listens even better. Just go on, hit subscribe on their phone. They won't mind you interfering with their privacy. It's cool. With that, we'll see you guys next week.
Later.